Some ideation is unconscious in the sense that one is not, at that moment, conscious of it. But there are no forces, no psychological resistances or psychical barriers preventing one from becoming conscious of it. Thus, a moment ago, you were unconscious of the fact that 1 plus 1 equals 2 in the sense that you were not conscious of that fact, or a fortiori of your knowledge thereof. But it was not repressed or otherwise dynamically withdrawn from consciousness. Some ideation is unconscious in the sense that it is dynamically withdrawn from consciousness. There are special psychological resistances, barriers of an emotional or structural nature, preventing you from being fully aware of your own feelings towards your father or best friend. But there is a third kind of unconsciousness. There is ideation that is not repressed, it is not sequestered from consciousness. At the same time, the sense in which it is unconscious is not the innocuous sense in which your consciousness that 1 plus 1 equals 2 is typically unconscious. Ideation that is unconscious in this third sense is split off from one center of consciousness to be sequestered in some other center of consciousness. It is material that has been subjected to doublethink. Thus, people in politically driven situations are painfully aware of some fraud of which they are at the center, and which they are under enormous external pressures not to speak about, and therefore not to think about. But, in order to function, in order to toe the relevant lines and perform the requisite institutional functions, they must have relatively unfettered access to the consciousness of the perfidy of which they are at the very core. Thus, they acknowledge, and then, as it were, unacknowledge ugly and embarrassing truths as it suits them. Their knowledge of these ugly truths is not repressed, but it is not unqualifiedly conscious. There are resistances to their becoming directly and unblinkingly aware of these truths. These ugly awarenesses are the objects not of repression, therefore, but of doublethink, to use Orwell's term, or to use the psychoanalytic synonym, of splitting. Thus, splitting is psychical compartmentalization that occurs entirely within consciousness, that involves a bifurcating of consciousness. By contrast, repression is psychical compartmentalization that involves a bifurcating of mental activity into conscious and unconscious strata. On the face of it, it would seem that repression, involving as it does such a radical schism within the psyche, would be less innocuous, less of a threat to psychical integrity than splitting. But the opposite is in fact the case. Repression is compatible with the desideratum that a given psyche have one center, one inner flame, one focal point. Splitting is not thus compatible. Consciousness is the essence of the ego. What happens outside the sphere of consciousness may be a threat to the soundness of a given person's psychological architecture, but it is not a threat to the unity of that architecture. It is not a threat to that person's identity. As long as non-conscious material is, upon entry into consciousness, duly subordinated to some one viewpoint, some one perspective on the world, unity of identity is not threatened. But unity of identity is threatened when consciousness is bifurcated, when it is split between two centers. That is why repression, though weakening psychological integrity, does not destroy psychological identity, whereas doublethink does weaken identity and a fortiori weakens psychological integrity.